Good evening. There, you can hear me through there now. I'm glad that everyone is here with us tonight, and it is a good reminder for us with Good Friday to be reminded of the work of Christ and the completed work of Christ. We're not waiting for him to come in such a manner as he already has come, but we are waiting for him to return. So there is a joy and a hope of his return when we will then be glorified with him. So that is coming, but tonight we're being reminded and remembering what he had completed for us on the cross. Right now, Rachel's going to read some scripture to us, and then we'll move on with the service.
I'd just like to invite you to stand for the reading of the word. This up here is an ESV, but I'm not going to be reading it in that. So just follow along. Tonight, before we came for supper, my family and I, we had dinner together, and then we took communion together, and I was just so overwhelmed sitting there with my family taking that, and here we go. Matthew 26:26-29 says, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat it. This is my body. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. When this life of trials tests my faith, I set my hope on Jesus. When the questions come and doubts remain, I set my hope on Jesus. For the deepest wounds that time won't heal, there's a joy that runs still deeper. There's a truth that's more than all I fear. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus. My rock, my only trust. Who shed his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. The life of trials means this war with sin. I set my hope on Jesus. When I fail the fight and sink within, I set my hope on Jesus. Though the shame would drown me in its sea, and I dread the waves of justice, I will cast my life on Calvary. I've set my hope on Jesus. I
set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my me to leave my Lord. I set my hope on Jesus. Though it offers all its vain rewards, I set my hope on Jesus. Though this heart of mine is prone to stray, give me grace enough to finish till I worship on that final day. My hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus.
I set my hope.
I set my hope on Jesus, my rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus.
At this time, I will read from John 18, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to him, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
Cross, where all
Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders hearing it said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge filled with sour wine, and put it on the reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split.
It's a little different when we come here in the evening for a service, and Friday too. But again, it is good. It is good for us to be here together and from all different church gatherings, so to speak, that we can join together in unity in Christ, because that is what it matters. That is what matters. That is what is pleasing in God's eyes too, when all believers join together and celebrate. And yes, not every single believer is in this room at this moment, but we are joining together, remembering what Christ did. Before we go any further, I would like to pray with you. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this evening. I thank you for each person here. I thank you that we did hear the words of Scripture. We sang words that glorified your name and spoke of the work of your Son on the cross. And I thank you that we can unite together as brothers and sisters in Christ and have a unity that is beyond anything of this world. One body, one flesh, one spirit. I just ask that each are blessed here this evening. And if there are any questioning salvation, that your Spirit would do a work on the heart and change the life. In Jesus' name, amen. So Kathy got to see a little bit of me waiting this week as I was preparing for this, because I kept saying, I'm still waiting on the Lord of exactly what he wants to say. I have an idea of Scripture that we should go to, but I wasn't totally certain how to present it to you tonight. And a little joke for you. I was looking over at Grace, and I was like, thumbs up for her to come up. And then Stan looked at me, and he was like, do you want me to come up? And then I was like, no. And then Grace was like, oh, you don't want me to come up? So those are good for us, good little laughs for us. Anyway, if you don't know my name is Pastor Matt Honig, anyone here that doesn't know me. And I just want to say thank you that you came tonight. I'm sure there's some of you that have come into this place sober-minded, or maybe even with heaviness upon you, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. If you believe the work of Christ was completed on the cross, then we believe the work of Christ is important still today. If we believe in the work of Christ, then we truly do believe all of the wrath of God stands against the sinfulness of men in the schemes of wickedness. Has anyone ever seen a press, a steel press work? Maybe I'm sure there's some farmers here. When a steel press is being used, it has an importance to it. And when that steel is being formed, and the operator who is shaping it into the form that he desires, it is then used for a specific purpose. My point tonight of what I want you all to see is what the cup was. So if you have your Bibles, please flip with me to Matthew. Matthew 20, 22. I'm going to read to you from the NLT first. So as we go through this, just think about the cup. Matthew 20, 22. But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink?" And then from the ESV, it says it this way. Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And then after that, in verse 23, they said to him, "We are able." So what is this cup? What is this cup that it's speaking of here? The wrath of God. The cup is the wrath of God and the cup of suffering. The wrath of God and the cup of suffering is what Christ took upon himself so that we could live. John 18:11, it says, "So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me? God poured out on Christ what we deserve, the wage of sin and death, and Jesus paid what was due to us. But death would not and could not hold Christ. That is kind of a sobering thing to think about, is that death could not hold him. And that's why he was the man. He was the one sent by God that was to go to the cross. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed this throughout the years. And I know that there are ones older than me here, and they've probably noticed this too, but there's an easy gospel floating around there. The gospel is not simple, only that there is a simplicity or a simpleness to it in coming to salvation, that it's believing on the name of Christ. But the gospel is not just a simple little pray this prayer and then I say or someone says, you're saved. No. The gospel is the work of the Spirit on the heart of the man or woman or child. If you confess Christ, you will be saved. In agony and sorrow, Matthew 26, 38 to 39, Jesus was going to the cross. And it was the cup the Father had willed that he was to go forward. Jeremiah 25, you have your Bibles too with you tonight. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 25. I felt like I was all over Scripture this week. It was good for me. Really good reminders. I had reminders of a lot of things through Scripture. But as I went through it, I was reminded of my Lord and the work that has been completed. Isaiah 25, 15 to 17, it says, thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. Verse 16, they shall drink and stagger and be crazed because of the sword that I am sending among them. So I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations to whom the Lord sent me drink it. The cup of God's wrath is poured out on all nations. All nations will know his wrath. Isaiah 51, 17 as well. I'm sure you've read through Isaiah 53 lots, but I'm going to go to Isaiah 51, verse 17. Wake yourselves, stand up, O Israel, or O Jerusalem. You who have drunk from the hand of the Lord, the cup of his wrath, you have drunk to the dregs, the bowl, the cup of staggering. Wake up. Get up. Remember the disciples? Don't go to sleep. Could you not stay awake with me a little while when Jesus went to pray in Gethsemane? Christ was obedient to the point of death, making a way for man to live life eternal. We receive it in this world, and for eternity we will be with him in the heavenly place. When we understand our sin, or when you understand your sin, and the gravity of its dissatisfies us. When we understand the gravity of sin, it should ultimately dissatisfy us, I should say. So when we understand sin and the gravity of it, it dissatisfies us. We understand the weight of it. We understand how it presses upon our shoulders. We understand our depravity, our separation from God. We understand we have no way out of this within our flesh. And then you understand hopelessness. You understand what you deserve. You deserve the just wrath of God. Romans 1:18 to 32, we see that fully and completely and how it reveals our depravity. So what do we do, brothers and sisters and friend? Today, we should first, though, I believe, read further in Isaiah 51, down at 21 and 22. It says, "Therefore, hear this, you who are afflicted, you who are drunk, but not with wine, thus says the Lord, your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall drink no more." So what does this tell us? God put his wrath on his son. But God in his righteous justice, don't forget the justice part, brought life where only death remained because of sin. The torment of Christ was necessary. It was a necessary, just plan of God. Matthew 20, 22 to 23 is an important text for us to understand and take hold of and understand the cup. He went further on with his disciples because his disciples would partake of that cup, is what was said to them. And are we to partake in the wrath of God in such a manner as Christ? I would say no, but at the same time, I would say that there is a little bit of a yes, the cup that we are partake, because Jesus did say to his disciples that they would partake of the cup. So there is a yes and a no. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will drink the cup. But this cup is not the cup of God's wrath, but the cup of baptism into Christ's death and life, into a life of suffering and trial." We can see that in Acts when we open up our Bibles and study through it. We can see that Paul himself in his letters had persecution, had trials, imprisonment. The world will hate you. This is why it's not an easy gospel. This is why it's not a simple gospel of just say this and you get that. It's not through your works that you're saved. It's through the Spirit that impresses upon us and then changes the heart of wicked men and women and children, whoever professes the name of Christ. So of course this gospel is not easy. So what makes any of us think we should get an easy gospel? The wicked one believes such a thing. So there is no easy gospel in Christ. It costs us. It costs Christ. Why would it not cost us? It costs his life, and it costs us our lives. So Good Friday is good because of Christ. We would not have a high priest who stands in before the Father making atonement for our sins once and for all if it was not for the cup of the suffering of our Lord who endured to the end. Then we would really not have what we have today. We would not have the new covenant of the blood of Christ. So we have the reminder of the one who entered into the holy place, the most holy of holies, for all time, and then he now intercedes on our behalf. Jesus' trial was his obedience, his submission, his servanthood to the Father's will. Jesus took on his flesh, or in his flesh, Jesus took on in his flesh what was demanded of us that we should have bore. Jesus took on what God demanded on the whole world and all of humanity. Jesus had to bear his wrath. I really don't want you to miss that point tonight. He had to bear the wrath of God that we could live life anew and live life eternal. Maybe some of you have heard of John Piper. I really enjoy his teachings. One time he said, "Life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross. Cherish it for the treasure that it is, and cleave to it as the highest price of every pleasure and the deepest comfort in every pain. What was once foolish to us, a crucified God, must become our wisdom and our power and our only boast in this world. Let's pray again, and then we're going to sing. Father, again, I come to you, and I thank you that we can join together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and thank you for the work of the cross. But again, I think of so many within our own community that don't know of you or reject you or think of God as foolishness, or maybe there's even someone here tonight, Lord. And I ask that your Spirit would press upon them. And I ask as we leave here tonight that we would see the importance of the cup of suffering that your Son bared on the cross and the trials that he went through in order that we could joyfully come to the cross, confess our sin, and believe in the work of Christ. And Father, I just thank you that there is new life in Christ, and that there is eternity with you, and that there is a fearful weight that should be upon us of the hell that awaits us if we don't believe that Christ fulfilled everything to please you. So this weekend, these next few days, to wherever we then choose to gather as brothers and sisters, that we would think again and ponder upon the work of your Son. I thank you for the Passover meal that your people, your chosen people, got to have when they left Egypt and they fled in haste, that they were reminded as they put the blood on the doorposts of the perfect Lamb. And we have the perfect Lamb who has been slain when we have believed in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we sing, let us sing to you and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's invite you to stand again. Again, wonderful, merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior. Precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
We will be leaving here in a short few moments. But I just want to remind you again of how important it is that we grasp and understand and always know that Christ did take the wrath of God that was due to us and bore it for us and made atonement for us when we believe. And when we're lost in our sin, we are hopeless. We are destitute, and we are destined for hell, the place that we deserve. So just remember the gratitude of the work of Christ. So in 1 Peter 2:22 to 23, it says, "He committed no sin, neither was there deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Have a great weekend. Blessings. And go in peace. You don't have to stay, though, just to let everyone know you can visit, stay. It's okay. It's okay to hang out for a bit if you'd like.